You want to talk about confidence?
I do. So we've had so many clients ask me this week if we could record a podcast on confidence.
All right. Tell me, what do I need to know? How do I have more confidence?
I think a lot of it is it starts inside. And so I think people are often asking, you know, what are the traits of someone who's confident, and how do I look like I'm confident? Mm-hmm. And I think it's an inside job.
Yeah.
And so I think really you start by thinking about, how do I raise my self-regard? How do I like myself more? And how do I behave my way into more confidence? So, you know, the very first thing is to think about what's important to you. Mm. Because you have to understand what's important to you and then start moving towards what's important to you and taking risks and having discipline with that. And then that very naturally makes you feel more confident.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the most important pieces of how do I become a confident leader is, first you have to figure out what's important to you, what risks do you have to take in order to go get that, and then you have to start taking those risks. And I think absolutely discipline and diligence and risk-taking and standing back up after you've fallen and standing back up again. And then that is what starts to build confidence or inner authority.
Which do you mean by, how do you figure out what is important to you? Is there a practice?
Well, I do think that it's important to use reflection and contemplation and journaling and maybe talking and verbal processing, looking back on your life, noticing what's life giving, what's life draining, and start landing on, you know, oh, this might be my purpose on the planet. Mm-hmm. I think thinking about crucibles you've been through, things that maybe almost melted you, but in fact were somehow strengthening you or giving you extra compassion or empathy in some way, superpowers. I think it's a long practice, I think, of discerning what your purpose is. But I feel like once you land on, oh, this is why I'm here, and this is why I'm here, and you feel strong in that purpose, then it's much easier to be confident.
I think you're right. I recognized, and I'm a little shy to admit this, but I'm confident enough to admit it, that I think part of my purpose is to bring joy to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And because I realized a number of years ago how important that was to me, joy was something I wanted to live in. Mm-hmm. And live out. And everything else sort of falls into place when you know that main thing. And so it feels really wonderful to be in a company that practices positive organizational behavior, mm-hmm. because it's all about joy.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like you just landed here. You know, yeah. I think that the thing is we grow in confidence because in big and small ways, we move towards our purpose, towards fulfilling our purpose. So I think those are a couple of key elements of becoming confident. I think there's also understanding orthopraxy that we don't think ourselves into a new way of living, but we live ourselves into a new way of thinking, to quote Richard Rohr. And so we sometimes have to adopt the behaviors of that person that you see yourself becoming. And you know, people talk a lot about imposter syndrome. I'm definitely not ever advocating that we fake becoming the next better version of ourselves, but that we behave our way into it. Mm-hmm. So it might be that it's a behavior that's new to you, speaking up in a meeting, taking a risk, but it's not faking it,
mm-hmm.
because you're actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you have the capability of doing it. So that's something that I think is really important, you know, the whether it's growth mindset or the power of yet or orthopraxy, but how do we jumpstart our way into becoming this next better version of ourselves? And I think that helps us grow in confidence.
Hmm.
I think there's also the simple practice of saying, other people don't get to determine what my worth is.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the reins on that. I'm the one who gets to decide what my worth is.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it helps our confidence if we tie that evaluation to our inputs rather than to our outputs our outcomes.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is, you know, if you've done your work and you're getting a clear sense of what your purpose is, that you think, what are the habits? What are the mindsets, the habits, the behaviors of the person who's living out their purpose? And then you are devoted, disciplined mm-hmm. to those habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're thinking, did I do my habits that will eventually land me in this other place? Okay, check. I did that mm-hmm. those. And so whether it was a good day or a bad day in terms of outcomes, that becomes less important. And so you're not tying your worth to whatever those outcomes are, because there's so many things that are outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
The economy, other people, the weather, yeah. all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if you are paying attention to those habits, you're able to build your confidence because you're thinking, that's where I evaluate my worth.
Yeah, I believe people with a lot of confidence have a discipline. They have mm-hmm. a thing or some sort of practice that mm-hmm. they rely on that helps them center and move things forward.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a comfort to it too, mm-hmm. I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think are some ways to grow in confidence?
I think that you grow in confidence by that risk taking and leap and the net will appear.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give it a shot. I feel very motivated when I think, will I look back on this and regret that I didn't at least try? And because often the answer is, yeah, I'll regret it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, why didn't I at least give it a shot? Because the cost, even if I fail, at least I learned something.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of, to be confident, a little self-coaching that happens, which is, if you have success here, then you can learn from that. If you don't, then you will learn even more from that. And so it seems worth it to me. And reminding myself too that courage happens when you do things that you're afraid of. So it's okay to have a little bit of fear
mm-hmm.
or a little bit of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
If you still do it, then you did it.
I think that also the risk-taking really needs to be tied to your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take all kinds of risks and maybe even have success with that hard work and those risks. But if they're not directly tied to what your purpose is, I'm not sure it moves the needle on your self-regard, your confidence, your inner authority. Yeah. So I think the risk-taking is important, as you know, Venn diagram with purpose also.
The research around building confidence is really interesting too, because you know, I'm like scouring this research and just find out what's the secret sauce, and the biggest takeaway was just do it. You do it and you do it and you don't, you make it through somehow. Mm-hmm. And that gives you confidence. And if you didn't, you know, melt, then you'll try it again. And I guess some of that comes from experience too. That takes time to keep doing the attempts. But I was like, how am I supposed to get people excited about just do it? just give it a shot and see what happens, because that will build your confidence. And the EQ work that we do, the assessments around emotional intelligence to build your self-regard, your confidence, they tell you to do a little bit of an inventory of the things that you've learned and how you've grown and how that helps. And I think those things are tied. You're mm-hmm. just trying to build up as many examples of when I did that and I didn't know what I was doing, this is what happened though.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just feels like the leap and the mm-hmm. net will appear kind of thing. Just mm-hmm. keep going.
Mm-hmm. And I think the tie between self-actualization and reality testing mm-hmm. is critical with the reflection. So I feel like I've seen too many times that someone is a high self-actualizer. They have accomplished quite a lot. They still have low self-regard,
mm-hmm.
but it's because their reality testing is skewed. They have mm-hmm. some sort of perception disorder mm-hmm. where all that they've done isn't registering.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is because they haven't taken the time to take that inventory. So I think the reflection part is really important. And I think that there's a modern kind of confidence that we're expecting from our leaders, which, or at least I'm expecting from myself, I'll say, which is confidence with humility. Mm-hmm. So the intellectual humility that I don't have all the answers, but I'm self-assured enough to take the risk, emboldened myself, empowered others. YOLO, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, screw it, let's do it.
Yeah,
you know,
I love it.
Virgin Airlines style. So, but I'm thinking about some great leaders now that I think have that combination of humility and confidence, or, you know, humble confidence, or confidence with humility, or something like that. And how do they maintain both of those things? It's still a little swagger-like.
Mm-hmm.
It still looks a little badass, but it's not arrogant in any way.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's, you know, really, is that what we're trying to develop as leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Confidence, but still the humility that we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
But what's the worst that could happen if we do our homework, surround ourselves with good people, have great habits, and give it a whirl, you know?
Yeah. I love that idea of humility, because I think that it bolsters confidence if we can just be comfortable in our own skin. There is this television show where there was an aunt and her niece was in art school and trying really hard to be an artist, and her aunt was an artist and like kind of like a hippie, and she was like, I don't know, maybe you're not a very good artist, maybe you're not really an artist and you're just trying to be. And the niece got so upset, and she was like, if you really were an artist, maybe you wouldn't be so upset about that. It was kind of a mean conversation, but mm-hmm. it always stuck with me because it made me realize, yeah, if she really truly was an artist and someone was like, you're not an artist, they'd be like, okay, whatever, you can think whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But you know, mm-hmm. you're trying, you're giving it a go. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And I think I aspire to that because it is, to me, it's confidence with humility. If somebody says, you're not a leader, that doesn't rattle me. Mm-hmm. I can be like, yeah, maybe in some ways you're right, you know, and that's good.
Yeah. I feel like that's that inner authority.
Yeah.
That I'm aiming at, which is less dependent on what others think of me and more dependent on my habits, my effort, how I'm showing up. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I don't know how many times on this podcast we've told the Zen koan of, is that so?
Right.
We won't tell it again.
Yeah.
Well, how about we reference the video on our YouTube? There's check out our YouTube. But getting to that place where we're not worried if we're getting awards or not getting awards, making money, not making money, you know, but are we doing the work so that day in and day out, we're doing our best, we're challenging ourselves, we're fulfilling our purpose on the planet. Mm-hmm. And so if someone says, you're amazing, is that so? If someone says, you're garbage, is that so? I think that's where I feel strongest, you know.
Yeah. I hope this isn't too controversial, but I want to add what maybe a superficial part, but in a recent workshop around, it's called Powerful Presentations, and it's about being able to have charisma and present in an impactful way. And you know, we talked about how you dress. And I talked about how I have this blue suit and actually I have three suits. I have a blue one and I have a black one and I have a gray one. And when I put that on with a freshly starched button down and I've got the right shoes happening, I feel really confident. And it is palpable compared to when I'm in my pajamas. And so what do you think about that? Maybe it's superficial, but what are the ways that we can build confidence that maybe it's how we show up and how we're dressed?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think life's a drag. Not to bring up drag queens, but life's a drag, right? And so all of life is drag.
Did
we just get canceled? I just feel like I heard a few people unsubscribing to the behaviorist. But I think that we live our way into a new way of thinking. And so if it means that we are putting on a costume that changes our identity and makes us more confident because it changes our thinking, mm-hmm. why not? You know, I think it's one of the easiest ways to build, and it's not superficial, true inner authority, because it changes our thinking. And we see ourselves like a leader. We see ourselves as a together, ironed person.
Are we going to start talking about Richie on the Bear? And how he... I wear suits now.
Yeah. I mean, the Forks episode is mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
I love it when he says that.
Yeah. And he found confidence on that episode through work.
Yep.
You know, and that's where my heart goes out to so many men and women, mm-hmm. young and old, mm-hmm. who lack confidence and yet... think that work is the enemy, mm-hmm. and work is bad, mm-hmm. and that only by having minimal work in their life can they grow in joy and happiness. And so I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that like Richie, sometimes we learn to love ourselves and to find our meaning and our purpose through our work. Mm-hmm. And I would love the world to talk about that mm-hmm. a little bit more, that we need meaningful work to yeah. feel whole, mm-hmm. I think. So, I think clothing can be an important tool in the toolbox for growing in confidence. The podcast we're about to record is on the evolution of executive presence. Mm. And appearance is one of the three facets okay. of executive presence. Gravitas, you know, really confidence. And then how we communicate. And then our appearance. Those are the three facets okay. of executive presence. And in this research from 2012 to 2022, that's the top vote getter on appearance is how we dress, how we show up. Are we polished mm-hmm. is the language that researcher uses. Now, what polished was in 2012 is different than polished is today. And now it's more and more situational. Mm-hmm. Do you work in tech? Do you work in finance? Mm-hmm. What do you wear to work? But I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it's important. So I hope this conversation was helpful to our listeners. We already have podcasted on inner authority, and they can go back and listen to that. We have a very popular podcast on imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. But I think the concept of tying your purpose on the planet and calculated risk taking mm-hmm. to habits and discipline and doing your homework mm-hmm. Is a pretty good formula okay. for getting to, oh, and plus a suit. is a pretty good formula for growing in confidence. Is there anything else that you would add?
I just have a question. You know how I'm really into this Navy SEAL extreme ownership.
Yeah.
And they talk about decisiveness mm-hmm. and how that builds your leadership presence and how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that?
Isn't it funny? It's like, is that a cart or is that a horse?
Okay.
Which way does it go? Yeah. You know, we tend to think, okay, really confident people are decisive. But is it decisiveness fosters confidence? So, you know, the Leap to Leader article and book by Adam Bryant, he says that's one of the six capabilities you need to hone mm-hmm. to become an exceptional leader is decisiveness. And you need to figure out how do you get input, mm-hmm. but not too much input. Mm-hmm. And then how do you provide directional guidance mm-hmm. and say, this is what we're doing, folks. Here we go. So I think it's a great point.
Okay.
Go SEALs.
Go SEALs.
Yeah, that was great. All right. Well, thanks, Sarah.
You're welcome.